The following program is a PodcastOne.com production.
Welcome to Ron Paul, the weekly podcast. I'm Charles Goyette. Detroit's bankruptcy filing was inevitable, but the mayor of Detroit says more than 100 urban U.S. cities are having the same problem they're having. We may be one of the first, he said, and we're the largest, but we absolutely will not be the last. Other cities that have been described as having much the same bubble problem include Cleveland and Cincinnati, St. Louis, New Orleans, Birmingham, Pittsburgh, Buffalo, Newark, debt. And some are looking to Washington to bail out Detroit and these other cities. They must not have heard, though, about the insolvency of the United States government. Ron Paul talks about Detroit, debt, and destruction right after this.
I'm Ron Paul. I'd like to thank our sponsors. Their support makes these conversations possible.
This is Charles Goyette from Ron Paul's America. Thanks to some Wall Street players, gold is on sale, just like it was in the subprime banking panic 5 years ago. Take advantage of these low prices. They didn't last long then, and they're not likely to last long now. And that's why I'd like to personally invite you and all Ron Paul's America listeners to call CMI Gold and Silver today. I wrote an entire section in my New York Times bestseller, The Dollar Meltdown, on where to do business. CMI Gold and Silver meets my strict standards for gold investors, and they have done so for over 40 years. In fact, I've known CMI's founder, Bill Haynes, for 35 of those years. Call right away to take advantage of these prices while you still can. Call CMI at 855-757-7285 or look them up online at CMIGS.com. CMI Gold and Silver, 855-757-7285. Dr. Paul, there are a few things in public life that are to me quite as astonishing as the nonchalance with which the governing classes treat the matter of public debt. What accounts for their indifference or obliviousness to the debt problem?
Probably comes from about 100 years of bad economic teaching in our schools, because we have been taught too often from cradle all the way up, grade school, high school, college, and continuously, that deficits don't matter. The spending is a solution. It never causes trouble. So this is the consequence. You know, for many of us who have been concerned, we were concerned when it started and as it continued. But because the calamity, the total calamity and the collapse of the whole country didn't come, they say, well, you guys are wrong. But Keynesian liberals believe that the problem comes from not enough spending. So no matter how much spending there is, no matter how much debt there is, no matter how much printing money there is, the answer always is we need to spend more money. If the people won't borrow, or if they can't borrow, then the government has to do it. And this is what happens. So they're following a philosophy. It's not an accident. It's not like they went off on a tangent and did this in a sneaky manner. This is a consequence of a bad idea. And right now, it's coming home to roost. But it is the bigger problem is will the federal government be any better off? And quite frankly, I don't think it is. And when the federal government it goes broke, when it's acknowledged that the federal government can't pay its bill, this is a big deal. But the big difference between the federal government and also these local cities or counties that are bankrupt is the fact that the federal government can always print money if they need it. They have borrowing power, and we still are a powerful economic entity. We're also a powerful military entity, but we really are insolvent. But the world still takes our money. We have a special privilege because we're a reserve currency of the world. And this is going to continue for a while. I'm going to be surprised if the federal government doesn't come in. They won't say it's a bailout, but for somehow it's already, most of the money flowing into Detroit probably is federal money when you look at all the unemployment benefits and the food programs. And they're not going to quit those. And if more people become unemployed, more money is going to flow in there. But it will not restore vigorous growth. That is what we have to do. We have to change people's attitude as to what system would take care of this, get rid of the problems, and start and restart economic growth once again. That is what I think we have to work on and try to explain to the people and what they ought to be doing.
Well, it was amusing in a sort of a macabre sense. A member of the European Parliament said the other day that this statism that we're talking about has turned America into Detroit.
I think this is absolutely right. And, you know, there was this program, Life Without People. It reminded me when I was looking at these pictures of Detroit, you know, vacant buildings, rundown buildings, buildings collapsing, cities being torn up, just no people there taking care of it. So there's still some people there. Most of them are very, very poor and unemployed. But I don't think it would take that much to turn it around. But politically, they won't accept it. The as bad as it is, as empty as the treasury is in that city, and as willing as some of those leaders now say, we have to declare bankruptcy and get this bad debt behind us, still, the people on the take, what do they say? What are you going to do to take care of me? You promised this to me. But the whole thing is politicians promise a lot to get elected. And that is what happened. And for years, well, national level, state level, city level, you get elected by pretending that you can take care of people forever. Always deal with the debt in the future. But if there is one single issue that people should have looked at a lot sooner, and we should continue to emphasize and look at, and that is debt. Though the liberals and the Keynesians preach this idea that debt doesn't matter and you can continue to borrow, and if you're in trouble, spend and borrow and print the money, it's a fallacy. It fails. And this is the reality. It's been going on for decades now. And I think what Detroit is doing now, it's sort of lighting a light bulb and saying, this is it. This is what can happen. These other cities are going to be involved. The whole country may be involved. The whole world may be involved, because we have never been in a situation like this where the whole world inflated together based on a fiat dollar, a fiat currency. And of course, we ended up getting some privileges by being able to issue that. But the one thing that they can't control, no matter what they try to do, they cannot restore confidence once the confidence is lost. And I think when people start looking at places like Detroit, that confidence continuously is diminished, and eventually we'll have to face up to the fact and do something about it. The answer can be found in spending less, let the people alone, let have markets work, and have a sound currency, and let the debt be liquidated. If you can prop up this debt forever, or think you can, it's a fallacy. It won't work. And that's what we've been doing for the last 5 years, because it's worked partially, you know, over the 30 or 40 years. We'd always prop up the debt, print money and spend money, and we would eke our way out of a recession. But it's not working anymore. We need to face up to the facts and realize exactly how serious this problem is.
Dr. Paul, nobody has really alerted the American people more successfully than you to the dangers of our fiscal and monetary situation, to the dangers of all of this overhanging debt. When we continue in a moment, I'd like to ask you, what approach is needed to awaken the American people before we have to suffer the calamity of a debt implosion? That's next on Ron Paul, the Weekly Podcast.
Hey, this is Steve Sanchez, and don't forget to catch me on podcastone.com for The Undisclosed Bunker. Catch great interviews with Katy Perry's parents, President Ronald Reagan's son Michael Reagan, much, much more. Look, we take on the establishment. We provoke, empower, and engage. Caution, no religious ninnies allowed. The Undisclosed Bunker with Steve Sanchez on podcastone.com.
Well, just to give some scope to the size of the federal government's indebtedness, last year, total household wealth of the entire world was estimated at $223 trillion, which is almost exactly the same as Professor Lawrence Kotlikoff's calculation of the U.S. government's unfunded liabilities. And that means that the U.S. government has made promises to people, promises that people now rely on for retirement, medical care, and more, unfunded promises equal to all of the household wealth of the entire world. How do you awaken the people to this?
Well, unfortunately, reason in the early stage of this never works. It looks like they need a 2x4 approach to this for people to actually believe it. But I think that is beginning. But it is very, very difficult. Sound economic theories are one thing, but the political demagoguing that always goes on and the dependency that is developed and the special interest who captures the benefit. Because today, you and I are talking about this and we see the problems and we see not only Detroit, but what is coming. But we're mainly looking at those empty houses and no jobs and poor people. But are we fretting about Wall Street right now? No, they're not. They're not sweating. And all the new money is going into Wall Street and propping up Wall Street. So what it does, it divides us too. Where in a free market with sound money and less government, actually you have a large middle class. And we did in this country when we had more freedom, we enjoyed the largest middle class ever. But that is not the case. We have the very poor, totally dependent on the government. We have a shrinking middle class whose standard of living is going down. And we have the wealthy getting much wealthier who are in charge of the whole system. They're in charge of the military industrial complex, the medical industrial complex, and they're also very much beneficiaries of the surveillance industrial complex, billions and billions of dollars. So to overcome this, it takes almost like a one person at a time. The best way we can is to educate people on what the nature of government ought to be, because they can't accept these views on economics if they don't reject the idea that more government is not what we need. A lot of times people think, yeah, we agree with you. That's exactly what the problems are, but we need our guys in there to manipulate it for our benefit. No, you need government there to be a referee, but you need to get the people out there working hard and, you know, being allowed to keep what they earn. That is the solution. It's education, and that is where we're making the progress. Compared to 30 years ago when I first got involved in politics, it is so much better, but it's just not reflected in our government. But out of necessity, people are going to look more for a free market answer. Socialism, welfareism, fascism, communism, all total failure. But we're witnessing the failure of Keynesian welfareism right now. It's a good thing that people are seeing the failure of it. The big challenge is, can we convince enough people that the way to go is not toward bigger government, to reduce the size and scope of government, limit the government to protecting our liberties and providing for a sound currency?
As always, Dr. Paul, thank you for what you do, and thank you for another great podcast, another great conversation here. Ron Paul, the weekly podcast. I'm Charles Goyette.
This concludes another PodcastOne.com program.